He gives an exhortation to all of the churches. Since he knows the works of each and every church, he's going to tell them, I want you to make certain you do what I've called you to do. Now, as you read through and study these seven messages, by the way, this is going to be such a blessing to you to be able to study these messages. The last words of Jesus Christ, not only to the churches, but to the church members, the exhortations found within them will be such a blessing. It'll be a great personal Bible study for you. He makes a promise in all of these messages to these seven churches. He says in every single one of them, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Go back to chapter 2, and let's start with the church at Ephesus. And he makes that statement, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then common also is not only he that hath an ear, let him hear, but to them that overcometh. When you go back to 1 John chapter 5, it talks about he that overcometh, he that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so he is talking to the saved members of the churches. The one at Ephesus he is talking to, if you have an ear, listen. And here is what's going to be given to those that overcome. And he makes a promise to those who are overcomers. Right here in verse 7, the church at Ephesus, will not take the time for all of them, but notice what he says. He that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden or the paradise of God. The word could be translated garden as well. And so that's talking about during the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, the tree of life will be there in the city of Jerusalem. We'll be able to partake of eating the fruit from that tree of life. Well, we're going to have that same phrase mentioned in all seven messages. Trace through these seven messages and notice, I know thy works, and I then exhort you to do this. Oh, by the way, there is commendation for all of the churches except one. The commendation goes to every church except the church at Laodicea, and he condemns the church at Laodicea. And there's somewhat of a condemnation against all of the churches except the church at Sardis and the church at Philadelphia. He has no negative statements to say about these two churches. So this is a part of the structure of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Well, we can study through these particular passages of Scripture and come to greater understanding of what God is doing. Notice what he says, that if you're an overcomer, listen to what I have to say. He makes this statement to the members of the church at Smyrna, and he tells them what he is going to do. For those that are in Jesus Christ, those who are overcomers, he tells them that they shall not be hurt of the second death. That's verse 11 in the message to the church at Smyrna. Go with me now to verse 17, and this is the church at Pergamos. He says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This is just so exciting as we think about those things that he has promised to those who are overcomers, those who are believers in each of the churches. At Thyatira, he makes the same statement, verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessel of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, listen up to what is said to the seven churches. How about the church at Sardis, chapter 3, verse 5? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You will not have your name blotted out of the book of life if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, wait a minute. I did not think that you could lose your salvation. In fact, that is exactly what I believe. It's not only that I think it, I know it from studying God's Word. There's no way, once you have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can lose your salvation. It seems to say here in this passage that your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. In other words, it had to be in the book of life, so it won't be blotted out. Is that talking about the fact that when you get saved, your name is put in the book of life? No, I think it's saying that the names of everyone ever brought into this world, their names were in the book of life in eternity past. And Jesus Christ said, if you're an overcomer, if you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. You know what that means to me? He's done everything possible to bring us to Him, to have fellowship with Him. How do we know that? Because He put our name in the book of life in eternity past in anticipation of us trusting Him as Lord and Savior and coming to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. How about the church at Philadelphia? When we go over to verse 12, we say, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. What a blessing to read through these messages to these seven churches. Hey, the church at Laodicea, though it was condemned, he that overcometh, God's going to give him something as well. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord says unto the churches. Well, that's the beginning of our study of the book of Revelation. We looked at the introduction to this great book, the title of the book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's apocalyptic literature. If you have a problem when we come to a literal, normal, sensible interpretation of the Word of God, and there's a symbol there that it's conveying an absolute truth, we find an interpretation to that symbol from another portion of Revelation, another portion of the Bible. And we're going to take the approach that this is all futuristic. And when we come to chapter 4, the next time we come together to study, we will understand the rapture of the church takes place, and after that, everything in the future. In fact, the rapture is in the future. It's very close in the future, I do believe, but it is in the future. We looked at the person and the power of Jesus Christ found in chapter 1, the power of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. By the way, you know we have that same power. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we indeed have that power by faith that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. How do we live on a daily basis? In the power of Jesus Christ, in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. And remember the resurrection, the source of his authority to predict the future. And again, let me commend to you the study of these messages to the seven churches of Asia Minor that were alive and well in 95 AD when John the Apostle wrote the message to them that Jesus Christ had given him to pass along not only to them back in 95 AD, but to us today as well. Well, thank you for joining us for this study. Next time we get together, we'll talk about the rapture of the church. You know it can happen at any moment. You don't want to miss that study. So be sure to continue to the next study of the book of Revelation.